Yaakov Avinu being the epitome of Amuna. We spoke about how Yaakov Avinu is the one that perfected Amuna. And Amuna comes from the Bechina of Yaakov Avinu. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Shana Santayra Le'amu Yisrael. It's okay either way, whatever you prefer, it's fine with me. So, Yaakov Avinu had a tremendous amount of Nisyonos. Yaakov Avinu is the one that went through the Golus, last week's Parsha Vayetzi, Yaakov Avinu Be'er-Sheva. Yaakov Avinu is on the run. 2 weeks ago, sorry. This week's parasha is Parshas Vayeshev. And there is something, there's a rokeach, I'll tell you on this week's parasha, that is absolutely stunning. Maybe you heard it. Rabbi Frand made this Dvar Torah famous, not from the rokeach al Torah. I don't remember where, I heard it when I was a bachar, this Dvar Torah. Rokeach al Torah is a sefer. I heard it when I was in Pesach. And there's someone named Julius Klugman who paid a lot of money to buy the Rokeach al Torah, the manuscript. I think he bought it. I'm not sure where he bought it from. If he bought it from the Vatican, or from he bought it from some sort of college library. But he bought a manuscript which we did not have access to. Spent a lot of money. He's a Rishon. The Rokeach al Torah is a Rishon. I have the sefer in my office if you want to see it. It's a very fascinating sefer. It's not like classic Rishon style, but sefer Rokeach. He writes the following thing. Rokeach writes, if you notice, every single pasuk in this week's parasha starts with the letter Vav. Wow, I never noticed that. Every pasuk in this week's parasha starts with the letter Vav.
That's the one,
no? No. Sides 4, 8. Every pasuk starts the letter above a size 4, 8. Why is that? Why is every pasuk start with the letter above? Listen to what the Rokeach writes now. I want to remind you, there's a Rishon. Talking about a Rishon over here. He says, because this parasha is full of difficult things. Very difficult parasha. This parasha is a vai. Vai, you know, people say, oy vai. Vai is a word from the Gemara. Vai is not, you know, some sort of, you know, like just expression that we made up. Vai. This parasha is a big vai. Vai to the story of Yosef and his brothers. They couldn't get along. Bechiras Yosef. Vai to the story of the brothers of the sons of Yehuda, Er v'Einan. They died when they were young. Vai to the story of Eshes Potiphar. Vai. This whole parsha is lots of vai. That's why the parsha starts with the letter Vav. Now, I would say that's very much in sync with what we're speaking about Yaakov Avinu, that he went through tremendous challenges. Yaakov Avinu. And those challenges are primarily in this week's parsha, where it really gets difficult. Yaakov Avinu's main pain that he had was what happened with Yosef. Yosef was apparently his favorite son. And Yaakov was expecting for things to go smoothly. He was expecting Mitasa Shlema. Vai. That's this week's parasha.
What about
The other eight psukim says the Rokeach is Kineged Bris Mila. That's all he says. That's the whole Rokeach. It's cryptic, but that's what he says. So I like to try to explain as much as I can. Understand what Amunah is about. And Amunah has to do with being able to deal with challenges. Right? All these challenges that we're speaking about, all the vice, and being able to withstand the vice. And that's what Amunah really, that's what we're trying to accomplish here. That's this week's parasha. I don't think it's coincidence that these eight of Mila come out at the same time as the eight of Chanukah. Chanukah is also eight. Chanukah is the darkest time of the year. Do you know that Hadlokas Neiros, Shabbos, right? The Hadlokas Neiros is at 4 o'clock. That's how early. Nates is at like 6. So the day first starts at like 6 and it ends at 4. It's like no day. It's all darkness. There's so much darkness. during Hanukkah. And that's when you need the 8 days of Hanukkah, which is somehow to be able to withstand the darkness. So we have to figure that out. Let's try to figure out how we're going to deal with the vayu here. So apparently it has to do with Bris Milah. What's happening, I think, is as follows. When I have a conversation with someone, not me, let's take someone else. When someone has a conversation, and I say, listen, if we talk about something, and you listen to me, because what I'm saying makes sense, you're not really listening to me. But if you listen to me, even though you don't understand what I'm saying, then you're listening. I want you to think about that for a moment. If you're listening to me because what I'm saying makes sense, you're not really listening to me.
Listening to yourself.
You're listening to yourself. Why? Because now, I understand what you're saying. I'm going to do it. What does that mean? What did I just say? I'm not listening in because of you. You did a good job of explaining it to me. I get it now. I'm going to do it because I get it. It's me. It has nothing to do with you. You could now disappear, and I'll do it even if you weren't here. I'm not doing it because you asked me to do it.
But if you wanted to told, you wanted to not.
And so you could now disappear. From here on, you could disappear. Missed it. You could disappear right now. You're irrelevant to me. You did a great job explaining to me. Now you're gone. I'm doing it because of me. That has nothing to do with a relationship. Maybe I'll hear you out because of our relationship, but it's not because I trust you. If I trusted you, it would have absolutely nothing to do with the fact that I understand it. I trust you is, even though I don't understand it, I'm going to do it anyway. Now there's degrees of trust. Okay, guys, do you mind? Could you raise your hand for a second? Just raise your hand for a second. There you go. Okay. Anyone that raised their hands, they trusted me. They did. Right? Why you raise your hands? Guess what? I have no good reason for you to raise your hand. I just wanted to prove that you guys trust me. You can put it down. Okay. Now, guys. I put a net right here on the bottom of it. Do you mind just jumping out the window for a second? There's a net right here. No problem. Now, some of you might really do that if I was serious, maybe. But a lot of you wouldn't. Why not? Because I trust you, but only so far. I'm willing to trust you on X. I'm not willing to trust you on that. Right? There's degrees of trust that we have for each other. Trust, though, has to do with not necessarily understanding or knowing how it's going to work out. That's what trust is. We speak about Amunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amuna means there's certain things that I do not understand, but I am going to have trust you that this is good. That's what Amuna is. And that stems from a relationship. We don't necessarily know what relationships mean. We don't. Many of our relationships are really for ourselves. I'll give you an example. When a man gets involved with a relationship with a woman, let's say he's on a shidduch date, right? And he meets this girl, and she is mamish, super star, great girl. She's like, you know, she daven shmon esrei for like 2 hours, and she does chesed all day, and she's mamish, and she's attractive, and she's nice, and she's like the greatest. She's like a dream. She's everything that he wanted, right? So he feels like he loves her. Right? I will prove to you that he does not love her. You ready? If he really loved her, why in the world is he going to let her marry him? He knows what he's doing, and no one else knows about all that garbage that's going on. He's got super starky roommate over there that's much better than him. So why doesn't he go and say, listen, you're a great girl. I love you so much. I want you to marry my friend. Because I love you. Why doesn't he do that?
What's the word? It's called fetition. Was
he? He has. I know you're looking for. He's infatuated. I think it's really. It's more than that. I think he's in love with himself. I love the way you make me feel. So I love me. Really, our relationships very often are about, you make me feel good. I love the way you make me feel. I'm going to say I love you, but I don't really mean that. I mean I love me, and it feels good for me to be with you. So therefore, I want to marry you, because it's going to help me. That's not really a relationship. That's not a relationship. A lot of times people get married and they're totally like miss the whole idea of what a relationship means. A relationship really means I'm caring about someone else. What's the difference? Well, someone said, well, you know something? I got boys. I do anything for my boys. If it's 2 o'clock in the morning, take care of my boys. They call me up. I got their back. I'm with my boys and everything. They think that that's a relationship. It's also not a relationship. Because very often that's part of my, you know, part of what makes me proud of the fact that we're boys and I'm going to take care of me, you, and you're going to take care of me, and we're going to live. It doesn't necessarily mean that's a relationship. Very often, you want to know a real relationship? The person that you have the least in common with. When someone says, this guy is so not my type, if you could actually become his friend, that's a real relationship. You know why? I get nothing out of being with this guy. I get nothing out of him. He's not cool. He's not funny. He's not anything.
Well, then everyone thinks you're a really nice guy.
What?
I mean, then everyone thinks you're a really nice guy.
But, okay, it depends. If you're right, you're doing it in a public forum and everyone's going to think you're a really nice guy, then you're right. But if you just do it, like you're going away for off Shabbos, and who are you going to bring for Shabbos? So it's the boys. We've got to be, you know, it's just the boys. No, not him. He's not our chill. Can't stay away from him. Whatever, you know. It's like a whole politics and who's going to go away. That's not a friend. You're a user. That's all you are. You're a user. We're just using each other. Like, he's cool, so I want to hang out with him because that makes me feel cool. And other guys are going to think I'm macho. Hang out with, you know, Yossi. Like, whoa, I'm going to feel like really cool. Hang out with Yossi, you know what I mean? That's like Stoltz, you know what I mean? Guy knows how to speak publicly. He's got a nice smile. He's smart. He got all that stuff. He's going for him. I'm going to hang out with him because that makes me feel good. But if I hang out with poor Yossi, the guy's from, like, Queens or something like that. I mean, the guy, like, he's totally, like, out of it. The guy's got, you know, I feel bad for him, you know what I mean? He just, you know, he thinks he's in New York, but he's not really. You know what I mean? He's got the worst of both worlds, you know what I mean? If you gotta live in New York, at least be in the action, and he's there, and he's got, like, I'm gonna be nice to Yus and hang out with Yus. So that's a real friend. A lot of our friendships, a lot of our relationships are not real. A lot of our relationships are not real. To have a real relationship is to be able to care for another person and to give to them. So we want to really create a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have to understand what a relationship means. Bris means a covenant. Covenant means relationship. You make a bris, it means that we're entering into a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? That means that not everything's necessarily going to go my way. I'm going to give to you. I'm not taking. I'm not a user. Your bris is you cut something off of yourself and you give it to him. Right? We cut off part of our body and give it to Hashem. That's our bris. Hashem, here. I'm not going to be a user. I'm not a taker in this relationship. I'm going to be a giver. A person has established a real relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could go through a lot because I trust you. I trust you. That's a real relationship. It's not about you explain it to me, and if it makes sense to me, then I'm okay with it. Because then it's just all about me. And if it's about someone else, so then the relationship is okay. I'm not gonna demand to understand everything. Now, being human, there is a limit to how much we can take. And every once in a while, we need a little bit of, like, you know, like a kiss, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or a compliment, or a pat on the back. You know, we need something positive just to be able to keep us going, right? If the relationship, all we're hearing is negativity, 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 so then it's very hard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every once in a while, gives us, like, a nice little, you know, a kiss. a story happened to me just last night. I was talking to a friend of mine last night. Someone came in and asked him for money for Achnas's Kala. And he gave the guy a lot of money, $20,000 for Achnas's Kala. That's a lot of money for one particular Kala. And then after he did that, which is a very nice thing to do, so he met the caterer who's doing the event, and he already gave $20,000, right? He decided he's gonna, he has the caterer owes him money. He said, you know what? I'm gonna pay for the chasana. And they'll pay me back whenever they pay me back. So he just paid for the whole chasana and all the food. The next morning, he gets a call from one of the people that's representing him in a particular business deal. He's been working on this business deal for months to try to get the deal to go through. He's got to vacate a building because that way he can now restructure the building and build it, and he's gonna make a lot of money if he can vacate the building. But people have to want to leave. Now you have to handle with them. I'm not interested in leaving. He said, I don't know what happened. They all agreed to vacate the building this morning. He said, we've been trying for months to get this to happen. So the guy on the phone says to him, you must have done a real big mitzvah last night. That's what he said to him. He must have done a real big mitzvah. So he called me on the phone. He says, it's like, Kadosh Baruch Hu just, like, you know, gave, it was a smile, you know? It was like a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him like a kiss, you know? I did something nice, and then the next morning, boom. And not only that, but the guy that's doing it says, didn't know that he did this. He says, you must have done a real big mitzvah last night. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes the next day, right after you just like put out a lot of money, and all of a sudden, you know, you get into an accident. Now I got to spend more money on this, and I can't believe it. And it's like, because it doesn't always go your way. But every once in a while, you get a little kiss from a Kodesh Baruch. Those are eight nights. It's dark. There's so much darkness. But a person has to be able to celebrate and see the good. And that builds our strength. That's the pshat it says over here, Yosef. Yosef was going through tough times. Yosef is really an extension of Yaakov. The parsha, being in this week's parsha, says, Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. What we're going to speak about the next couple of weeks is all of Yosef's struggles. Because Yosef is Yosef at Tzadik. Tzadik ben Manasseh Yichya. We said Tzadik is really Yaakov, is the one who has all the Amunah. He put it all into Yosef, and Yosef went through everything. All of the darkness in Mitzrayim, being sold by his brothers, being accused of a crime he didn't commit, all that stuff is Yosef. Somewhere in the middle, Yosef right now, his brothers almost tried to kill him. They threw him into a pit. There's lots of snakes and all scorpions. It's pretty scary. Now he's being sold as a slave to Yishmaelim. You know what I mean? It doesn't get much lower than that. He's a slave of the Yishmaelim. He's a slave of the Arabs. That's pretty big nobody. Rashi says in the pasuk that they were bringing spices. Right? You're familiar with this Rashi, probably. Rashi says that they sold him, and they were bringing spices. Why does Rashi say they're bringing spices? So Rashi says, because it wasn't really the derech. Usually these people are, they bring all different types of foul-smelling materials. But over here, Kodesh Baruch Hu did a very special hashgacha for Yosef, and they were selling spices. Here it is. Well, success. Vayavru anoshim midyonim soichrim veyimku es Yosef li Yishmaelim. Yishmaelim sold him to not a Rashi? Rabbi Azikowitz, it's not a Rashi? What? Here it is. Sorry. Pasuk Chav Hey. Ve'yishuv lach alechem ve'yisu einem ve'yero ve'hine orchas yishmeilim ba ve'gilad gamalim noisim nechois v'tzari ve'loi tolchem lahorid mitzrayim. All different types of pleasant smelling things, says Rashi. Lama pirsa kosev ma'asam, why, who cares what they're carrying? Because usually ain't darkom lasis ela neft. They used to carry like oil and itroin and pitch and sherechan ra. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent besamim. Right? Like it should be a pleasant smell. Now, Yosef HaTzadik is about, I mean, this is about as low as you could get. His brothers just tried killing him. He's being sold as a slave. You know, life is really rough. And he's got, you know, he's got a car freshener. You know what I mean? Like, does that really make a difference to him? It's like, well, is that patchouli or is that vanilla? You know, like, I mean, he's not really thinking about that right now. And the Mefarshim say the pshat is, as Rafal said, it's just to show a little bit of light, just to show a little bit of love. It's a little smile from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm here with you. It's dark, it's tough, you're going through rough times. But I'm here with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows that a person has to be able to pick up on those signals. Now, if we're negative, we won't find it. I'll tell you a story about someone. Happened in Arzi Abira. They said this at his Levaya. He was killed in a car crash. When he was married, so right after he got married, he went away for Shabbos, and he came back, and his entire house was totally cleared out. Looted. Nothing left. I mean, they took everything. In Eretz Yisrael, so the Ganavim know that if you go away for Shabbos, you're gone. You know what I mean? They got plenty of time. They cleared the entire house out, you know. That was, and the only thing they left was his stereo. Back in the day, we used to listen to music on, like, these stereo things, right? Yeah. So, he walked into the house. And he said, why did Hashem leave us the stereo? Why do we have the stereo? Because Baruch Hu wants us to make music. He turned on the music and he started to dance.
Boss.
Now, most of us were like, be so upset and angry. He saw a light. He saw a light there. He's not Breslov. He's very Litvish. But Rabbi Nachman does try to encourage people to see Nekudas Tovus. You see Nekudas Tovus in people, see Nekudas Tovus in what happens. Right? The person has to have a positive eye on things. Look for the good in the situation. And sometimes you'll see HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, there's just a little light there. There's a lot of darkness. But you see that light, it gives you the strength to go on. The person has to have, in general, look for positive things. And this is a midah that people have in life. Sometimes you see a person, a guy, and there's so many good things to find in him, and all you're seeing is the bad. All you're seeing is he does this wrong or that wrong, or, you know, or whatever, I don't like this about him. He makes corny jokes, or you know, he eats too much, or there's so many good things to see in him. If we learn to see good, we learn to be positive, then you can find in situations the small lights. And those things will give us the emunah to overcome all the vai. There's vai, it happens. But you know something? All the vai is really for the good. In the end of the day, everything that happened with Yosef HaTzadik, the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating Mashiach. The Medrash says this. This is how Mashiach is going to come. Yosef is going to be going down to Mitzrayim, and we're going to have this situation. We need this all. This is all part of the plan. And if you trust Hashem, then a person can go through it, and he can stay calm. He can be happy. We're going to speak about Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik danced while he was in jail. Okay? I'm going to talk about it in the coming weeks. Same way, this fellow, this friend of mine, his name was Eisenstark, he had his whole house stolen. He had there a jukebox, so he danced. This is in jail, and the Medrash says he was dancing in jail. I mean, what are you so excited about, guy? You know what I mean? You were just accused of doing something you didn't commit. You're in a jail. I don't know if you know what the jails in Mitzrayim were like, but I can only imagine. It was a dungeon. It was a pit. It was a disgusting place to be. And he's enjoying himself. Is he a lunatic? Is he a Breslover? Neither. But Breslov, by the way, is very into Yosef HaTzadik. They're picking up on this Nakuda. See the good. Find the good. Be positive. And that's a mitzvah that we could have. We could practice it with our friends. You have a friend. Try to see the good in him. And then it'll spill over to your entire life. See the good in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And that's how a person builds a munah. A person has good relationships. Real relationships. The best relationship we could have is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We will continue, Be'ez Hashem, hopefully, next week.